Hey, welcome back here to the Semi-Seminarian. I'm your old brother, your old buddy, Pastor Jim, coming to you through the late night static with a word for the ones who've run out of easy answers. Most preachers swerve around this passage like it is a pothole, but not tonight. We're heading straight through it. This episode's called Love May Quit, But God Won't, Jesus and Divorce. It's not about finger pointing or moral scorekeeping. It's about what happens when forever falls apart and grace still shows up anyway. When the paperwork's done, but the ache won't quit. When the love you promised walked away, but the love that made you doesn't. So lean in close. Let's go find Jesus on that dusty road where the Pharisees came to trap him, but he came to tell the truth about mercy. I'll see you on the other side.
Like I'd mentioned, 12 years, lots of sermons, lots of gimmicks, lots of bad jokes, and lots of something else too. Running from the hard parts of the Bible. Because preaching on those hard parts requires trust on both of our parts. Trust in you that you'll hear what I say and what I don't say. I trust that you'll trust me to challenge. Maybe something about you that you believed about the Bible and you've believed it that way for your whole life. But I trust that you'll trust me to maybe give you something to think about when you think about what you think about that part of the Bible. And that type of trust between us takes time. It requires relationship. And I think that's why most preachers don't preach on the hard parts of the Bible, because they don't trust themselves to do it. They don't trust themselves to be able to form that relationship between you and I. And so, they just avoid the hard parts of the Bible. Well, on this Pastor Appreciation Sunday, I want to demonstrate to you how much I trust you. Because today's topic is on D-I-V-O-R-C-E. The morning sun is just beginning to rise on the ridges of Judea. The air carries a faint chill that lingers before the desert begins to warm. Jesus and his disciples are walking south down through the dusty roads between Capernaum and the Jordan. The crowd trails behind them, farmers with dirt under their nails, mothers clutching the hands of sleepy children. Men who left their nets just long enough to see what he might say today. There's a stillness in the air that's not quite peace. It's anticipation. Up ahead, beneath a fig tree heavy with green fruit, a cluster of Pharisees waits. They've been watching him, waiting for a moment, just like this, when the teacher is surrounded by people too poor, too hopeful to know that their hearts are about to become someone else's argument. The dust hangs low and the wind curls around them, carrying the murmurs of the crowd and the smell of the Jordan just beyond the next hill. Jesus slows his pace, looks at their faces. You can almost see the question forming before it is ever spoken. Before we lean in to listen, let us quiet the noise that followed us in here. Let the dust settle in your souls. The question that waits beneath this story isn't about rules. It's about hearts that break. And a God who refuses to walk away even when we do. So, friends, breathe deep. Let your spirit listen, not for defense, but for invitation. Hear the ancient air move again through this holy conversation. The Word waits for us along the road. The reading this morning, Mark chapter 10, beginning with 1. He left that place and he went to the region of Judea and beyond the Jordan. And crowds gathering around him, and as was his custom, he again taught them. Some Pharisees came to test him, and they asked him, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" He answered them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal and to divorce her." But Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote that commandment for you. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. The two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." Then in the house, the disciples asked him again about this matter. He said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." Friends, the word is spoken not to bind us, but to beckon us. Not to build a wall, but to uncover what still aches for healing. These words are as ancient as the dust, as alive as your next breath. So may we hear them not as verdict, but as vow, that even in our breaking, God remains. The ground beneath us is holy, still warm from his footsteps. Thus begins the story that waits for us on the road. It's early morning on that road south to Capernaum. The air is still cool enough to smell the sea. The fishermen are mending nets, and the sound of them working, the pull and knot, keeps time with the breeze off of Galilee. You can see Jesus a few steps ahead of the crowd, walking slow, letting them catch up. A group of Pharisees waits near the shade of a fig tree, and you can feel the air change before they even speak. Every question they ask him has a hook hidden somewhere in it, and he knows it. They ask about divorce this time, not because they care about marriage, but because they are looking for leverage. You know the tone. They're not asking to learn, they're asking to trap. Maybe you've been on the receiving end of a question like that. The kind that's already decided what it thinks about you before you ever even open your mouth. Maybe you can still remember how it felt to be turned into somebody else's object lesson. Jesus doesn't argue. He doesn't bristle or perform. He does something quieter. Something truer. He crouches down and he draws a line in the dust between them. Like he's saying, "You can ask me about the law, but I'm going to talk about the heart." When he finally looks up, it's the same expression you've seen before in his stories. One that sees through the pretense and the pain. And he says, "Because of the hardness of your hearts, Moses wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. Two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." And the crowd shifts. Some look down, some nod, some whisper. But he didn't just answer the question they had asked. He answered the one they didn't dare say out loud. What do we do with what's already broken? You don't need me to tell you this. There are some verses of the Bible carry the weight of real lives behind them. This is one of them. If you have ever sat in a lawyer's office staring at a stack of papers that used to be your vows, or if you have ever lain awake at night replaying all the things you had said wrong or the things you couldn't say at all, you already know this isn't theory. This is heartbreak with a legal name. And maybe you've heard this passage used as a gavel and not a gospel. Maybe someone stood behind a pulpit and said, "God hates divorce," as if that settled everything. They probably forgot to mention that Malachi says God hates the violence that leads to divorce, not the person surviving it. They forgot that the same God who hates sin also kneels beside sinners, scribbling mercy into the dust. You know the ache that that kind of preaching leaves behind. It's the ache of the person who stayed too long or the one who left too soon. It's the ache of the one who kept trying and the one who couldn't try anymore. It's the ache of the child who watched two worlds split and had to learn to carry both names in the same heart. Maybe you've wondered if marriage was meant to be forever. What happens when forever walks out the door? What happens when love breaks but grace doesn't? What happens when the covenant feels one-sided and heaven seems quiet? You start to wonder if you're even whole, or if the fracture in your life somehow disqualifies you from the kingdom. Jesus knew that ache. He wasn't giving the Pharisees a rule book. He was revealing their blindness. Because of the hardness of your hearts, he said. And that phrase doesn't mean moral failure. It means spiritual scar tissue. It's what happens when love becomes bruised too many times to stay tender. And maybe that's what he's naming that day. The way that we harden to protect ourselves and in the process lose the softness that made us human in the first place. It helps to understand what that question meant in his time. Because in first century Judea, only men could initiate divorce. All it took was a written notice, a certificate of dismissal. And the woman was out. No property, no income, no protection. She might return to her father's house if he would take her. Otherwise, she'd beg or have to remarry for survival. Divorce wasn't mutual heartbreak. It was social exile. So when Jesus says, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her, he isn't tightening the law. He's flipping the script. In a culture where men couldn't technically commit adultery against their wives, he names it plainly. If you abandon her, if you discard her, you sin against her, not just before God. In other words, the law might let you walk away clean, but grace won't allow you to walk away cruel. You don't need me to tell you this, but Jesus wasn't out to shame the divorced. He was out to protect the discarded. He was standing between power and pain, saying to every woman who had been written off, "You are not disposable. You are not property. You're mine." The Pharisees heard that and they thought he was raising the moral bar. The brokenhearted heard it and realized he was lowering a wall that kept them out. And that's how the gospel works. It sounds hard to the proud and healing to the humble. And maybe you've noticed that in your own lives. Grace will wreck your categories before it restores your heart. It'll make you see that sin isn't always rebellion. Sometimes it's just despair. And the cure for despair isn't condemnation. It's compassion. And that's what Jesus is doing here. He's rewriting this law in the language of love. And when he says, "What God has joined together, let no one separate," he's not scolding. He's grieving. Because he is remembering the original dream of Eden. When two people could stand naked and unashamed before each other. No prenup, no backup plan, no record of wrongs. Just belonging. And he's mourning what we've lost. Kind of trust that could hold us through the night without fear of being sent away in the morning. Maybe you've been here long enough to know that love can break your heart even when you're doing it right. Maybe you've prayed until your knees ached. Still, that silence came back louder than the amen. Maybe you stayed longer than anyone expected and still found yourself standing alone, and you wonder, if marriage is sacred, what is it? What does that make me now? Am I the unholy one? Am I the exception God tolerates but doesn't bless? The one sitting at the back of the church hoping no one will preach this message this morning? Think you already know the truth. Even if it's hard for us to say out loud, you are not unloved. You are not half saved. You are not outside the circle of grace because the cross has already handled the paperwork. Jesus doesn't divorce his people. He keeps showing up even when we have run out of reasons for him to. And that's the whole gospel right there. It's not God hates divorce. It's God refuses to divorce you. And maybe you're right now. Maybe you're noticing the story isn't necessarily about who left whom. It's about who stayed. The Holy Spirit stayed. Spirit stays when everybody else walks out. Spirit stays when you can't even pray anymore. Spirit stays, hums that same song she's been humming since Genesis. It's not good for you to be alone. That's why the church needs to sound more like the Spirit. Not judgment, not suspicion, not labeling people failed marriage, but staying power, companioning power. Because every person that's lived through that fracture knows it's not about finding new love. It's rediscovering that you are still beloved. The longer I live, the more I believe that Jesus' teaching on divorce isn't about the rules. It is about revelation. He wasn't defining who is in and who is out. He was describing what love looks like when it refuses to quit. It's a picture of covenant, not contract. A covenant says, "I'm not here because it's easy. I'm here because it's holy." But even covenants need grace when they break. Some of you have spent years trying to rebuild from that break. You've had to learn how to be mother and father. You've had to learn how to split holidays, how to smile when it still stings, how to sit through sermons that don't quite see you. I want you to know something, friend. The kingdom sees you. King sees you. And he isn't keeping score. He's keeping watch. And maybe, just maybe, what Jesus really is teaching here is not about keeping marriages together. It's about keeping hearts soft. Because once the heart goes hard, everything else follows. Forgiveness gets brittle. Compassion turns into compliance. Mercy becomes a memory. But if you can keep your heart soft, even after betrayal, even after endings, then the kingdom is still growing in you. The truth is, some covenants die, but resurrection is still the story. You might not get the same marriage back, but you can get your soul back. You can still walk in grace, and you can still live in peace with your past. That's the miracle that doesn't make the headlines. The person who refuses to let bitterness have the last word. The one who says, I won't call this failure, I'll call it formation. The one who learns to bless what broke them, not because it was good, but because God wasn't done. Maybe you don't need a theology of divorce today. Maybe you just need permission to heal. Maybe you just need to know that holiness isn't the absence of scars. It's the presence of mercy in the middle of them. I think that's why Jesus keeps bringing the conversation back to the beginning, back to Genesis, back to Eden. Not because he's nostalgic, but because he's restorative. It's not saying go back and fix it. He's saying, let me plant something new in that soil. And that's what he does. He takes the ground we thought was barren and he turns it into mercy again. So if you're sitting here wondering whether God can still use you, the answer is yes. If you're asking whether you're still whole, the answer is yes. If you're hoping that someday love won't hurt this much, also yes. But maybe not the way you expect. Because the next love he might give you may not be a person. It may be peace. It might be purpose. It might be a quiet morning where you realize the shame's finally gone. Spirit is humming over the waters, saying, let there be light. You don't need me to tell you, but that's what grace does. Doesn't erase what happens, it redeems it. Doesn't make you forget, it teaches you to remember differently. When you do, you'll realize, even here, in the dust of your own undoing, you've never been alone. So maybe the gospel word today isn't stay married at all cost. Maybe it's stay merciful whatever it costs. Stay soft enough to forgive. Stay honest enough to heal. Stay close enough to the Spirit to know it's still singing your name through the static. Because love can fail, but grace won't. And the one who joined himself to you in baptism still means what he says. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen? Amen.
If this one hit the tender places, that's all right. It was meant to. Because the gospel isn't afraid of the ruins. It moves in and makes them home. It's what this episode, Love May Quit But God Won't, is really about. Faithfulness of God when everything else folds. Maybe tonight you just needed to be reminded that the covenant still stands. Not the one on paper, the one sealed in baptism. Jesus hasn't left you. The Holy Spirit hasn't gone quiet. She's still humming that same creation tune. It's not good for you to be alone. So wherever you are, divorced, remarried, heartbroken, healing, know this. Grace didn't give up when love did. It's kind of mercy worth sharing. This word steadied your soul. Go ahead and pass it along. Like it. Share it. Leave a comment about what stirred your heart. It's how these porch front gospels keep walking the earth. One story, one share, one whisper of hope at a time. Keep your heart soft, your hope stubborn, your dial right here. Because love may quit, but God won't. I'll see you next time.